Well, I believe that our traffic is going to be higher today, so everybody's finishing up preparing their stuff. The class sheets are on the corner if you'd like one. And if you don't like one, the class sheets are still on the corner. They won't move until you move them. Before we get into this packet, and there's a reason why we're doing this packet in this way, okay? Before we get into it, if you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. We're going to do a really quick case study from the scripture. Hi, y'all. Class stuff's on the corner right there. Exodus 32, we're going to begin in verse 15, and we're going to basically review the principles of anger that we've been talking about. Before we do that, though, I want to take a minute, and I want us to pray together, which we'll do in just a second. Class notes are on the corner. Exodus chapter 32 is just a quick Bible study this morning. Let's take a minute together and have a prayer. Our God in heaven, Lord, you want us to be people who are disciples. You want us to be disciplined people. You want us to be people who can keep our life under control. So you send your Holy Spirit to give us self-control. And I look forward to talking about that aspect of that in the weeks to come. But Father, today as we try to establish how we process our feelings and our emotions, I pray that we will have a great conversation, that you will bless us through this time together, and that we will bring honor to you in this study. Open our eyes, dear Lord, to the principles that you have shown us, and help us to learn how to do this better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here's a little review. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 15 through 20. This is what the scripture says. Moses turned, went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. By the way, this is the first time that Moses comes down off the mountain. Remember, he had to do it twice, and you'll find out why in a minute. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There's the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It's not the sound of victory, and it's not the sound of defeat. It's the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. All right. How have we defined anger so far? See if you've been listening for the last few weeks. How have we defined anger so far?
Ability to rise up against injustice.
It's the energy that God gives us that helps us to rise up against injustice. It is an emotion. It is a feeling, okay? So, in this passage, why was Moses angry? All right, they're defying God. Why would that make Moses angry?
It's been a short time.
Yes, sir.
Because he knew what all God had done for him.
He knew what all God had done for him. That's true. All right, he had probably taken it very personally, right? He had led these people. He had brought them to this mountain. He had helped them, he'd helped them to get away from Pharaoh. He had been through so much, right, with these people. And now, and by the way, how long was he on the mountain before he came down? Do y'all know? 40 days, that's right. He'd been on the mountain for 40 days. So he'd been up there alone with God, the holy God. He had been so close in communion with God, and he gets down off the mountain, and these people are losing their minds. And so he did. He had this tablet, and it said, "You shall have no other gods before me." What should Moses have done? We don't think about this, do we? What should Moses have done? He should have held up the tablet and say, "This is what God says. You shall have no other gods before me, knuckleheads." But no. What does Moses do? Throws the tablets down, breaks them, burns them, grinds them, makes the people drink it. That do a lot of good? Well, that's true. He did that. I'm sorry. You're right. He made them drink the calf. That's right. He didn't make them drink the tablets. Sorry. But I got enthusiastic. But class notes are over on the corner, Bill. Or if you want to get a copy. Is it fair to say that Moses was experiencing a recent frustrating event? Remember last week? He is experiencing a recent frustrating event. And was there a hurtful ongoing situation in Moses' life? Have you ever led a million people around? I tell you, there's something about being a leader of people who are constantly pushing against you. And you're trying to do it on your own. By the way, he got in trouble for this later from his father-in-law, right? He was sitting in judgment of all the people day and night, you know, morning till bedtime. And his father-in-law said, "This is not a good thing." And he gave them the system of breaking up into smaller groups so that judgments could be made. And Moses wasn't going to have to be the one to do it all the time. Because if you sit around and just listen to people gripe all day long, you can't lead. Right? So there are hurtful ongoing situations present in Moses' life. And maybe there were even some past unresolved situations of hurt growing up in Egypt. I don't know. Of course, he also had killed somebody and ran away. I don't know how he processed any of that, but I just know that Moses obviously had an anger problem that he needed to deal with. I think that. Do you agree with that? Moses had put a lot of energy and investment into it. And it was just very frustrating to him. By the way, I also know Moses had an anger problem because he killed an Egyptian. You know, he ran away from God. He complained to God. He also struck a rock later in his life, which cost him a trip into the Promised Land. I mean, Moses had a little bit of an anger problem. And we're going to revisit Moses as we get deeper into this study, and we're going to talk about his anger. All right. Today's packet. I'm going to put you through an exercise. And I know some of you are going to be sitting there going, "Do we really have to do this?" Nobody's going to see this unless you show them. What we need to do is we need to establish a baseline. You know what that is? When you're doing a study, what is establishing a baseline? Anybody ever done research? Say again. It's a starting point. It basically is, where are you in the way that you process your emotions and feelings? We're not going to make you talk about your emotions and feelings, but I do want you to write some things down. And this is for you to look at and to consider and in the weeks to come, we're going to refer back to some of this stuff. so that you can have it. But right now, I want you to look at your packet, and we're going to talk about anger and your life goals, and we're going to talk about your baseline. What we're going to do is we're going to look at five different areas of your life. We're going to look at how you process your goals. We're going to look at what you hope your ultimate outcome is in each of these areas emotionally. And then we're going to look at what you think your ultimate outcome would be if you didn't get that at all, if everything blew up on you. We're going to look at the opposite end. And we're going to be looking at the extremes of how you feel about certain things so that you can basically write down where you're at. And there's a reason for doing this that we're not going to be able to get to this week because we just don't have the time. So next week, we're going to come back to this, and we're also going to talk about patience and what that plays in things. And we're also going to talk about how you store your anger, because all of us do. Some of us store this much, and some of us store a roomful. And we're going to talk about why that happens and what you can do about that. And we're going to begin the process of dealing with that anger and how you can basically drain it so that it doesn't overwhelm you. And God's got a lot to say about that. We're going to get to that next week, but today we need to establish your baseline. So I want you to walk through this with me. You'll note, and by the way, this material that I've given you, the handouts, is something that was done in a situation that was not in a Christian situation. It was in a, it's give, so you'll see it, the material talk about if you have a church, if you don't have a church, if you have a spiritual life, if you don't have a spiritual life. We're just going to fly past those because you have a church and you have a spiritual life. This is talking to all kinds of people, but we're going to concentrate, and you'll see how we do this as we go through. I know I've confused you all, but hopefully it'll become very apparent as we go through this. Anger and your life goals. Your anger energy can be used in a constructive way to accomplish your goals. What are your goals? Are they constructive goals? Line in a movie when the high school basketball coach is talking to his players and saying, look at your life. Do you want something better? The coach was telling his players to take responsibility for creating a better life for themselves by setting and working toward positive goals. I can't tell you how many times I've had people sit across from me in my office and tell me, well, you know, I don't know what to do about it. That's just who I am. You know, I'm a redhead. So I've got a lot of anger. I've got, you know, right? I was raised this way. You can't do anything about your upbringing. What are some of the other things people say? God made me this way. I'm just a hothead. There's not a lot I can do about it. By the way, we like to use that when it comes to anger, but do we like to use that in other situations? You know, I just am genetically built this way, right? Listen, there's a reason why part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Because Paul even wrote, I will not be mastered by anything. Right? Paul himself said that. And we need to learn that we will not be mastered by our emotions and our feelings. We will not allow them to take over our life and to dictate how we live it, where we go with it. We need to bring all those things under control. So let's talk about that. How often do you think about your future? Do you have dreams of a better life for yourself? This exercise will ensure that your anger energy is that you will use your anger energy in constructive ways by helping you clarify your constructive goals. This exercise helps you identify and write down your goals in five areas of your life: recreation, church, support group, and I'm not talking about, you know, like drug support group. I'm just talking about support. We'll explain that in a minute. Your school or career and love and family. Now, on the following pages, you're going to find an important exercise to help you use your anger, energy, in constructive ways. And we're going to do what's called visioning, basically visualization. Okay? Einstein once said, imagination is more important than intelligence. Is it true that we are who we think we are? We are who we think we are? Yes. Why is that, Jimmy? Yeah. Scripture tells us that.
That. Mel and I used to attend the Scottish Club, and our president was, he convinced everybody we needed to take the DNA to see how much Scottish we were, and we took his DNA test, and there was no Scottish at all. And he was so mad, he still stayed president of the Scottish Club because that's all he knew. That's who he
thought he was Scottish all of his life until he found out he wasn't. Funny, what my sisters and I felt the same way. We were always told by my grandmother that we were Choctaw. That we had a lot of Choctaw in us. And my sister did a DNA test recently and that we're 91% British. No Choctaw at all. Or any other Native American. So no subsidies for me, I guarantee you. That's just too bad. But we are to a point who we think we are. And we construct our own reality in some ways. There's in counseling, I have dealt with a lot of people who they have it in their mind, this is who I am and this is who I'm always going to be. And getting them to break out of that is the hardest part of counseling. Because they have been trained, they have been conditioned to believe that there's nothing they can do about their situation. And I promise you, there always is something you can do. Now, let's talk about it. Preparing your mind. Many people find it useful to prayerfully ask for help for this visualization exercise. Whatever you prefer, it's suggested you get yourself somewhat quiet and relaxed as you get ready to begin. So what we're going to do, there are five different areas. We're going to look at the first four right now. We're going to do the fifth one after we're done, but we're going to look at the first four. I'm going to walk you through the exercise. I'm going to ask you to fill this out one at a time. Don't go flying ahead and say, oh, yeah, I can do all this. If we can't quite get it all done before the day, you'll know how to do it so you can finish it at home. I hope we can get this finished before the end of class. But we only have a half hour, so here we go. Let's talk about this desired future in recreation. Picture yourself in the future you'd really like to have within the next few months or years. And in this made-up future, focus on the type of recreation you enjoy. Or the type of recreation you would enjoy. Maybe you'd like to be a person who does more hiking or camping or boating. Maybe you'd like to travel. Maybe you'd like to visit certain places. Whatever the case may be. We're not talking about just personal recreation. We're talking about the way that you interact with others. So for the next moment or two, in the box on your sheet, you've got a sheet back there. If you'll move. Well, no, go ahead and fill it out on this page. We'll come to that sheet in a minute. Recreation, fun activities you want to do with others, and then describe the type of friends that you want to be with. And you'll notice that the type of friends is, example, trustworthy, sober, sense of humor, etc. And then when you're done with that, how does being in that perfect situation, that recreational situation, what emotion do you feel? Do that for a minute.